Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of The Close Up. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, a part of the Orlando Magic HQ Network. And I'm stoked to bring you this episode this week. We have Orlando Magic writer and digital content manager, Josh Cohen. He joins the show. We have an awesome conversation. We deep dive into a bunch of different things. We talk about Jonathan Isaac's amazing impact as a defender. We talk about how the Magic offensively have been playing in when they receive a zone defense, which has been really cool. We talk a little bit about just the toughness of the playoffs and how the Magic can stand up well as a playoff team, and ultimately talk about some of the uniqueness of the matches that the matchups that we could see as a Magic franchise going into our playoffs this year. It's a really nice conversation. There's a few other things we talk about. Make sure you stay tuned for the entire length of the conversation. You don't want to miss any of it. Before we get into that, I just want to remind you all, if you're watching this, please make sure you like and subscribe. It goes a long way. We'd love to continue to grow this platform, and we can do that with more likes and subscribes. Another few things, let's just get into some housekeeping stuff. We have an Instagram subscription program. I want to make sure you all are aware of that. It's $5. Gets you involved to 20% off home games, gets you into our group chat. We do monthly group calls just for the subscribers. And then there's a bunch of other custom content we do for you guys. So check that out. It's $5 a month. Also, we have a couple sponsors. Our first one is BetOnline. They're great. I've been using them a little bit recently. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops around the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile device. Head over to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. The game starts here. They're great. I actually just started using them again recently. I can't use typical sports books like DraftKings or FanDuel in California, so BetOnline is what I've been using, and it's been a lot of fun. The other ad that we have, the other sponsor of the show, which is really great, is another betting type of platform, but this one's a little bit more fun because you can like create your own bets. You're not necessarily betting on like sports. You can bet within your friends. You can bet just about anything. We've got a great new sponsor. I love betting with my friends and betting them on anything. Sports games, who's fast. That's what Cut allows me to do. Cut, it's a sports betting app. It's an app between anything. You can put odds on just about anything. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that is legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, rewards, all payments, no need for Venmo. If you and your coworker like to see who can make thrown crumbled up paper into a trash can, you can use Cut to make those bets and create your own custom odds. It's pretty cool. Use our promo code BLEAVMAGIC, that's B-L-E-A-V, MAGIC, for 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget to use that promo code BLEAVMAGIC. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. All right, little bit of a rough weekend for the Magic. They had a really embarrassing game versus the Knicks. They scored at the time, was a season low for the entire league, 74 points. Well, the Knicks nicked, and they had the worst game right after that, where they scored 73 points. But it was a pretty big ass whooping, if I wouldn't say myself. It was 74-98 on Friday. We all held that game to like playoff standard game. We wanted the team to come out hot, firing, locked in, and they were not. And we didn't have Jalen Suggs, which, I mean, he's definitely very important to this team, but not to where we only score 74 points and never looked like we were in the game important. Like, he's definitely important, but we should have shown up in other ways. And then again, the on Sunday versus Indiana, another embarrassing loss. The Magic were ahead. They dominated the first quarter. And then they just started getting matched physicality wise from the Pacers. And that kind of like shook them a little bit. And then they stopped performing. They stopped keeping their composure. And ultimately, Indiana just kind of bullied them around the rest of the game. I think it was close to tied at the halftime, and then the Indiana just took over in the second half, and the Magic didn't really have any response to it. They ended up losing that game 111-97. Two games in a row versus playoff teams in the East, which is unfortunate because we've had a soft schedule up until this point. Not playing a lot of playoff teams, playing a lot of Washington, Charlotte's, Detroit's. I wanted to see them come out fiery and really kick some ass, and they just didn't do that. So, hoping they've learned some lessons from that, hoping they learn that they need to lock in and really get their shit together, to be quite honest. So playoffs are going to be no joke. So we'll see it. All right. Great conversation with Josh Cohen. Let's get into it. All right, everyone. Like I said, we got Josh Cohen, Orlando Magic writer, content manager. You tend to do a lot of things. Josh, welcome to the show. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on again. Always great to talk Magic basketball, the NBA in general, and all topics related to the sport. So I'm always excited.
Josh, you seem to be doing everything these days, from writing articles to making custom video content for YouTube. How are you finding the time to do all that while also fully embracing and enjoying this fun Magic season that we are on right now? I mean, I know it's part of the job, but it's got to be a little overwhelming, I guess.
It can be at times. I definitely feel like I'm juggling different assignments along the journey, but I think when you're passionate about something, you make time for it. So I feel like that aligns with where I'm at right now. But yeah, like you said, enjoying the season and doing different types of content, I think, is part of the process for me. Like, I just enjoy dipping my hand into different aspects of the business and different aspects of the industry. And with basketball, I feel like now more than ever, with social media expanding the way it has and content kind of being dispersed in different ways, I feel like there's so many different avenues one can go. And obviously with the Magic, writing, you know, as much content as I can as far as the website and putting stuff out there for that. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, doing some stuff on YouTube as well, video wise, I feel like has been a new experience for me. So I'm just enjoying it all.
Do you feel like this season you've had to write like the same volume of content covering the NBA in general? Because I also know, like, during All-Star break and other elements of the year, you'll write some content on a NBA level scale and not just Orlando related. Has that kind of stayed the same this year, or has that dialed back a little bit because of where the Magic are at? Like, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think the Magic success is a factor into zooming even more so on the Magic. In the past, I would dip my hand, like I mentioned earlier, in some NBA related topics that might be on the Magic platform, but obviously covered maybe the NBA as a whole. So this year, definitely, because the Magic have been excelling in the way that they have, I feel like I've been able to focus on even more topics with the Magic exclusively, and then designate NBA related topics more so to like my YouTube channel and just other potential commentary along the way. So yeah, it's been definitely like almost zoomed in completely on the Magic from a writing standpoint this season.
That's fun. I'm sure it might even help make your work feel a little bit just more dialed in at that point, 'cause you're not jumping around back and forth. I mean, like, at least that's my guess on it. Man, the Magic this season has been fun. They're 37-28. They're fifth in the NBA Eastern Conference standing right now. They're in that tight battle for, it seems like every other day, they're jumping between sixth, fifth, and fourth spot in the standings. And on days when they're not even playing, they can jump differently in the standings because of just how tight this playoff race truly has been. You've been covering the team for a few different for a long time now, for a few years, over some different eras. How does this era of basketball with the Magic kind of feel and fit into other eras, right? I mean, you've written during the playoff runs with Vooch and AG and Evan, and then you've had, you know, you've gone through some of the down years of the rebuild, those early years where we're only winning 20 something games. How is this year just emotionally for you, and, you know, feeling different than some of the years past?
Well, this year's team from top to bottom feels like the most vibrant team that I've been around in the years that I've been covering the Magic. This team, as we can see on the court, has really bought into an identity and a culture that I don't think has aligned with any previous era, at least going back to post Dwight Howard. And they understand what they're good at. They understand what their weaknesses are. They're obviously trying to address those weaknesses. But I feel like the team bonding and cohesion factor plays a role in terms of the spirit and energy in the room. You can really feel it whenever you're at the Advent Health Training Center, Kia Center, and just all team events. So I feel like from that perspective, it has elevated the energy throughout not just the team itself, but everyone that's around the team. And it's translating to success on the court. From my perspective, I just feel like everybody's much more upbeat, just because, not just because the team is winning more, but I don't know, it just feels like the players are enjoying this process. Maybe in the past, and I'm not trying to slight, you know, the Vooch and Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier era, Oladipo and all them, they were all good players. I'm not sure they necessarily meshed with each other the way that they hoped. And so while they were good in a vacuum, maybe not necessarily weren't the right for each other. And I think the difference now is these guys have blended well together, maybe better than any other previous squad, at least post Dwight Howard.
That makes sense. And I don't think there's any negativity to say, you know, towards a different era to now. You know, every team is built differently. This team is so young. A lot of them are in the same place in life compared to, you know, you look at the Vooch eras where it's like, you know, Vooch and Evan were fathers and AG was, you know, like kind of like the young single guy. And there's just like a lot of age variances there, which totally changes the vibes of a locker room. Doesn't necessarily mean bad vibes, just different vibes, right? Sure. Which, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Josh, you've done a great job this year of covering the Magic team. Recently, you've come out with some really good content that I've enjoyed, and I'd like to dig into a little bit. You know, on March 4th, earlier, just like, yeah, about a week ago, you released an article talking about how since kind of the end of January, for the last month, the Magic, there was like a 16-game span where the Magic actually were crushing it, an area that they haven't been doing very well in three-point shooting, where they were shooting 39% from three, and only a couple of teams, that was like the third best, if I remember correctly, that was like the third best outside of the Celtics and one other team, I can't remember. But during that time frame, granted, it's been a couple of games since then and some tough losses to Indiana and New York. And then I think we also have played the Charlotte Hornets and Wizards since that article has come out. So that the data might've shifted a little bit there, but what caused you to go down that journey? Did you just like all of a sudden notice that they were starting to hit a few more shots? What initially caused you to kind of just like see this trend and want to dig deeper into it?
Well, I think first and foremost, one thing we've noticed all year is that opponents go into zone a lot against the Magic since the beginning of the year. They've seen more defensive zone than any other team in the league. So as a result of seeing so much zone, there's inevitably going to be open looks from three. And the reason obviously defenses are playing zone against them is because three-point percentage had been pretty low for the Magic. So it was logical for the opponents to go down that road. But slowly but surely, we started to see the Magic take more quality threes over quantity. Now, they've always been toward the bottom in quantity of threes, which I think that article addressed. But it's clear to me that when they get into the paint, which the Magic do so well, they get in there better arguably than just about every other team in the league, particularly with Paolo and Franz driving. And then they also play great in the cutting game. So, you know, whether it's playmaking from the paint or playmaking from the top, so many guys are getting into the paint through some form, cuts, post-ups, drive, whatever it may be. And as a result of that, inevitably, there's going to be opportunities for kick-out threes and swing threes. And we've seen the Magic take plenty of quality threes in that manner. And there was that stretch where they were knocking them down at a really nice clip. Wendell Carter, really at the top of the list for a while there. He doesn't take a ton of threes, but he's shooting 40.5% for the season from downtown, which is a career high. So when you have your five-man space on the floor like that, it's going to open up a lot of driving lanes for your playmakers, particularly Paolo and Franz again. And yeah, the playmaking from Paolo and Franz is certainly opening up more opportunity for shooters on the perimeter. We've seen Jalen Suggs also take a leap in that area. Gary Harris was on a nice stretch as well after a little bit of a downfall, maybe when he first got back from his injury. But yeah, the threes are coming at a not necessarily a high rate, but it seems like they're very aware of when it's the appropriate time to take the three. They're not really taking too many pull-up threes, which to me is always a negative. I feel like teams run themselves into the ground when they're pulling up from downtown because the percentages are far worse. There obviously are a few exceptions of players that do shoot them at a pretty decent clip, whether it be like Luka Doncic, obviously Steph Curry, although he's better off ball. But this particular team with the personnel that they have, it needs to be feet set threes, and the majority of their threes are feet set threes off kickouts from the paint usually.
When you say, is it, how do I want to phrase this question? I want to just think for a second. You're talking about quality of three. What, how had that changed in during that stretch compared to others? Is it, you know, cause we've seen plenty of times them like have a good look from three, catch and shoot, feet set, not a pull up and just not make it. Are they making this? Is it also just like a factor of players just making shots during that run? Is it a factor of like when within the shot clock or within the play that they are taking them? Can you tell me a little bit more about like the, what, you know, the quality aspect of it? And also like just maybe the fact of players are just hitting shots.
Yeah. One of the things that Magic do really well as well is they're not afraid to burn a lot of the possession. So in other words, sometimes a shot clock will start to get closer and closer to expiring, and some teams will force up an ill-advised shot when they feel like the shot clock is on the verge of expiring. The Magic are not afraid to let the shot clock kind of move along before they take a quality shot. So what ends up happening, it seems to me, a lot of cases is opponents get exhausted. They start getting fatigued and somebody is caught napping. And I feel like at one point or another, we'll see a defender loses man in some form, or maybe they're out of position if they're playing zone and the Magic will get an open look from downtown in that scenario. Also, I feel like the pressure that Paolo and Franz put on defenses with their ability getting into the paint and forcing their way to the basket, it just is wearing opponents down, especially as the games go along. Franz has a tendency to really start picking up his play toward the later part of games. It's varied, but a lot of his best games have been where in the third and fourth quarter, it just seems like opponents are just so exhausted trying to chase him around off the dribble. And he's so surgical and he's so precise and he's so methodical that opponents, I just feel over time are like, yeah, maybe through the first two quarters, we've been able to keep up with him. But after a while, he seems to burn them out. Paolo with the strength, his blend of power and finesse, I think kind of does the same. So when those guys are getting into the paint, there's just more open looks. And I think over the last 2 months, we've seen more open looks, especially when the opponents are going into zone. The percentage show it for that January 28th mark or date. The Magic were shooting just 29% from downtown in a zone defense, which is a very, very low mark.
Yeah.
But since then, they're at the high 30s, which is more normal and actually a little above average. And so as a result, the numbers have ticked up and they're getting a lot of wide open threes, which tends to happen in zones. You know, I mean, unless you have like a team like Miami guarding where they're so good getting back out to the perimeter, they're obviously the best zone defense team in the league and they play more of it than any other team. But most teams, I don't think I've perfected the zone. And a lot of times I think they'll be caught napping when they're caught not playing good positional defense.
When you think about all of that, that we've just been talking about, and then you look at the context of, I mean, I think a lot of the fans, I don't know if the players necessarily did, but like we looked at this weekend as kind of, you know, versus the Knicks versus the Pacers as sort of a mini playoff, like, setting, right, with you know, playing against people that are we're fighting for positionally, and potentially even could see a matchup with. There's a real possibility that we could match up with the 4 or 5 with the Knicks. Just wondering, how do you feel like we can make what we saw during that run translate during these matchups? Because, I mean, the Knicks game wasn't terrible from three. I mean, granted, we didn't shoot a lot, but I think it was, you know, if I have it correctly, they shot 32%. Granted, I don't think that's really all that telling because it was also like a 74-point game. But then like the Pacers, which is a little bit more on pace with kind of scoring and whatnot, we shot like a 25% from three. What needs to happen for that quality and that type of look to happen for the Magic during a more high pressure game, you know, like what we saw this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as the Magic are being physical, they're being aggressive, they're sticking to their strengths, they're sticking to their principles, I think there will be a lot that opens up offensively for them. And it will just simply come down to whether they make shots or not. Sometimes it's not necessarily formula as it is just precision and accuracy. But yeah, I don't think this is ever going to be a team based on their current structure, their current personnel setup, that is going to ever depend on the long ball.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is not the Golden State Warriors. This is not a team that relies on the three like some other teams. And I think that's okay. We see in the playoffs every single year, it's more of a grind it out, slow it down type of game. And the beauty of it all is that, and one of the things I love about this Magic team and the way it's been constructed, they were built to be good in the playoffs. I mean, it's just a matter of getting there and then getting experience. Because I think over time, we're going to see the Magic blossom into a team that's going to be not just a team that makes the playoffs regularly, but also be a tough out and maybe make some deep runs. But this is a physical team that understands that in the playoffs, if you're not physical, you have no chance. There's just no team in NBA history has basically been a team that isn't willing to play in the mud in big time playoff games. And some people might say, well, like Denver with Nikola Jokic, is that really a play in the mud team? Not in the regular season, but when the way they were in the playoffs, they were arguably the best defensive team in the playoffs. Them in Miami who met in the finals.
Yeah.
You can make that argument. And year after year, we see this. So to me, the three-point shooting aside, I think at the end of the day, if the Magic stick to their brand, which they haven't strayed away from at any point this season, and they constantly keep saying it over and over and over again, which I think is a good thing, they're going to be a team through experience, maybe not this year so much because they still need that taste. They're just built for that style of play. And no disrespect to other teams who try to do it differently, but when you try to be finesse, when you try to focus exclusively on abundance of shots, again, nothing against those teams, it's much more difficult to have success in postseason basketball. So we'll see how it plays out. Year to year, it could be different. But to this point of NBA history, that's what we've seen, especially over the last like 30 years. You know, obviously the Bad Boy Pistons,
totally
Bulls, so forth and so on. So it's really been kind of a main sticking theme in the NBA as a whole. And that's what I love about this Magic team. They are built in a way that makes sense to have long-term success.
Josh, you're setting me up perfect for this transition. Like, this is just, you're just bringing the cake out. Like, I want to talk a little bit about what you posted today, and it fits perfect with kind of where you were going with the conversation. Physical, defense, grinding it out. We have one of the best players in the league at that, Jonathan Isaac. You just did a really nice deep dive with his defense impact on YouTube today, a quick little 5-minute video. Listeners of the show, if you have not checked it out, go to Josh's page. It's one of the most recent posts on there. It takes 5 minutes of your time. You will feel more educated and wiser after watching that video. Man, Jonathan Isaac is a beast. There's no denying that. And I feel like the team has done a really good job of monitoring his health this year, ramping him up, getting him ready for the playoffs. He's played the second most games of his entire career so far at 44 games, which, you know, it doesn't look like that's slowing down anytime soon. Obviously, there'll probably be some management here and there with, I think we have two more back-to-backs for the rest of the season, which I imagine he'll probably sit one of those nights. They just tend to do that. But I also feel like they're going to continue to ramp up his minutes a little bit to get him ready to play a much larger role in the postseason when we get there. He's been phenomenal. What when you see Jonathan Isaac, when you watch him and you just see his impact on this team, what are things that go through your head? And I know that's vague. But I kind of just want to get some raw.
I appreciate the commentary on the video, by the way. But yeah, no, I mean, Isaac, from a technical standpoint, from a mobility standpoint, from an instinct standpoint, from a lens standpoint, is A+ across the board. One of the things about him, he never falls for pump fakes. And a lot of it is because he's got the height to avoid having to jump when an opponent gives a pump fake. So many times we see an opponent, and it could be some of the best, Durant, DeRozan, some of those mid-range specialists like Kawhi Leonard, you know, they give one or two pump fakes and someone's falling for it and a foul is called. Isaac almost never does that. He doesn't even jump most of the time because he doesn't have to because of his length, which is another reason why length matters so greatly in the NBA. And it's why guys like Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama and Evan Mobley are your premier defenders as far as shot blocking and contesting shots. But Isaac is right there with those guys, arguably even better. And I think that's the number one thing that sticks out to me is his ability to stay grounded and not fall for any of the trickery that a lot of players have. And some players are amazing at it, you know, like Luka Doncic or, you know, any of those crafty guards, because he can guard the perimeter. He can guard the interior. He's amazing tracking a player from behind. So many times we've seen him get a chase down block. Even if he gets beat off the dribble, which is not common for him, his blow by percentage on defense is only in the low 20s. So when he does get beat, he's able to use his long strides, use his long arms. And a lot of times that's how he alters a lot of shots. His positional defense is great. Even when he's not guarding the ball, we see him come up with tons of deflections. He's calling out. He's actually the one almost communicating to teammates where they should be. And he's always there to help. So when he's on the floor, and it shows in the defensive rating, he has the team's best defensive rating at 101.4. And when he's off the court, even though they're always good no matter what, they actually have the worst defensive rating as far as him being off the floor, which is 112.6 or something like that.
Sure.
So the impact is obviously significant. And he just makes so much of a difference in terms of, again, the instincts, the mobility, the length, the anticipation, the technique. Technique to me at his size is unmatchable. That to me is what separates him from a lot of the competition.
I think all of that really does speak. I mean, like specifically the technique and the IQ behind his defensive mindset, like goes into something that I had no idea. He's only that you mentioned and called out in the video, whereas like he's only had 25 shooting fouls committed this season that he has committed. I'm just like, only 25? How is that possible? Because he's constantly on, you know, on a shooter. He's the best defender on the team. So when he's on the floor, he's defending the guy with the ball in his hands. And it's just like, that just blew my mind. Only 25 shooting fouls. That's just crazy to see. How do you think they're going to utilize him in the playoffs? Do you think he's going to stay in that second? You know, granted, you know, this ultimately coach's decision, but do you think he's going to stay in that second unit? Do you think they're going to kind of go back to a lineup we haven't seen very often recently, but we did see it kind of after the new year where, you know, I think it was, we saw it on that road trip where they were closing with Jonathan Isaac, Paulo, Franz, I think even Wendell Carter, and then like Suggs. It was a really massive lineup like that. Wendell Carter, I think, is the one I'm spacing on, but I'm pretty sure that was the five. How do you kind of see them utilizing him going into the playoffs?
Well, first off, the best news is that there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. So he should be available for every game. That's extremely important here, obviously. But yeah, I think it's going to depend on how the games are going. I think Coach would say that. Depends on who we're playing, of course. But Isaac is the Magic's best option in a one-on-one situation where you have a premier isolation scorer, and every elite team usually has at least one, where if you need a stop, he's probably your go-to ISO defender, regardless of whether it's a perimeter-oriented player or more of a jumbo playmaker, whether it be like Jason Tatum or Julius Randle or even a Bam Adebayo, although I think Wendell Carter would probably be best fit to guard him in most situations. I feel like he's the premier ISO defender. I think it's very important to have him on the floor in a close game down the stretch. So that'd be my position on that. And as long as he's healthy, as long as he's active, which he usually is, he's a guy that I want out there as much as I possibly can. I know he's averaging 15 minutes per contest so far, but I wouldn't be surprised if he plays more in the playoffs. Maybe this whole thing is just saving him for that time. I don't know. That's just a sort of a speculation concept, but I would love to see him get even more playing time. I think he's a critical piece in a big time game. Those are the players that make the biggest difference in situations. And all the elite teams at least have one of them. You know, obviously we saw last year in the finals with Aaron Gordon for Denver. You got a guy like Caleb Martin who stepped up for Miami. We've seen in the past guys like PJ Tucker. And now in this season, for example, you got like a Herb Jones for New Orleans, you know how Draymond Green is going to be for the Warriors, and you know, Drew Holiday for Boston. And it just feels like every team, every elite team anyway, has somebody they can rely on in those go-to defensive situations to guard the other team's top guy. And I think Isaac is capable of doing that.
I definitely think we're going to see more of him in the playoffs and even probably the remaining 10 games going up to the playoffs as we continue to fight for the seeding that we want. Because like we saw earlier, just a couple months ago, I think it was on that end of January on that 5-game road trip that we took. And, you know, we played the Mavericks, we played the Wolves, we played Detroit. He was getting closer to like 22 minutes per game around that stretch. And that felt like a really good, granted, I am just speculating, I haven't talked to any of the staff, but it felt like they were like trying to see how he responded to the bigger workload during that time before going into the All-Star break, right, where he could like really rest and recover and get his body just right. They had some room for to just let him do that and try that. So I'm hopeful that when it comes to the playoffs here shortly, that he will be able to play closer to that 22, 25 minutes per game. You know, and again, with no back-to-backs, there's so much opportunity there for him to potentially do it. And hopefully his body continues to respond well. It feels like Arne Kanter and the training staff have just done so well with that. Do you have any insight on just their approach with Jonathan Isaac this year when it comes to his playing and his playing time?
You know, honestly, I don't. I really don't. But that's fair. The training staff has done an incredible job, not just with him, but with all the players. I mean, anytime someone's gone down, it's been a pretty speedy recovery. And obviously you don't want to rush anyone back, but it's been pretty remarkable, especially compared to more recent years where it always felt like things would take longer. Not to say that there was a cause for that, but they've done an amazing job. And there's no reason to believe that they won't continue to. So that to me has been another major, major bright spot throughout the season.
It's been pretty incredible, man. Like, it's, you know, every time he goes down, it's like, oh, you think is he done for the rest of it? No, he's back in like two or three games, you know, which has been just pretty immaculate. I mean, I think he missed a little bit of a stretch there. It was maybe, you know, 10 games or so. And there was some illness in there too. It wasn't just the injury that he was working with. So it's just been really encouraging. You know, as we wrap up this podcast, let's look ahead a little bit to the playoffs. You know, we're talking a lot about the Magic or a playoff team this year. We're going to see them in a series. Hopefully it's a nice, good series, competitive along the way. We saw a potential matchup between the Magic and the Knicks this weekend. But you know, there's also a couple other teams they could potentially match up with. They could potentially match up with the Cavs, you know, the Bucks, even the 70s, maybe not the 76ers. I don't know. They're kind of on a up and downward fall. I'm not really sure about that. Do you have a particular team that you like specifically for matchup with them?
It's an interesting question. I personally don't necessarily have like a favorite that I'd like to see them play, but if you want to talk about styles, you know, they say styles, you know, in boxing, for example, styles make fights. I mean, you either going to get commonality matchups or you're going to complete contrast, which I think is really, really cool. So if they play either New York or Miami, you're talking about very similar mindsets, very similar outlooks, very similar structures. And so if they square off, you're going to see like grind, like we talked about earlier, slow it down, grind it out, play in the mud. Very, 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 very physical. It's going to be super aggressive. And, you know, obviously Miami has tons of experience and more veteran players, but I think they would be a little bit fearful to play the Magic. I think even though Miami has won the season series in the regular season, the Magic could be a tough out for them just based on the fact they're not used to playing a team that has so much size and length like the Magic. Now, the Pacers, on the other hand, who obviously the Magic just played, are a completely different style. Now, yesterday, I thought the Pacers did an amazing job matching the Magic's physicality, which was a major, major difference from what we saw in Indiana earlier this year when the two teams played. Now, back then, they didn't have Pascal Siakam. But the Pacers, of course, want to play running gun, fast pace, speed up and down the floor, take quick shots, early shot clock, you know, increase possessions. The Magic are the complete opposite. They want to decrease possessions. They want to make it really tough to get quality shots for the opponent. So that would, to me, be a series where, like, you're talking about complete opposite ends of the spectrum. I know a lot of fans want to see more offense, but I wouldn't necessarily mind seeing that like smash mouth basketball, almost like 90s style, which of course New York and me would offer the most. I think when Philly is whole, they do that a little bit too, maybe a little bit more finesse with them, but they're a little quicker, a little more faster on the perimeter with Maxey and stuff, but that'd be another interesting matchup. And then, like you mentioned, Cleveland and Milwaukee, I think Cleveland would be interesting too, because they're a great defensive team as well. They know how to clog the paint better maybe than every other team, which is why they have one of the best defensive ratings over the last couple months, even though Mobley's out right now. But when they're full, when they have Mobley and Allen, they clog the paint incredibly well. So it's an interesting matchup there, because Paolo and Franz are so, you know, persistent getting into the paint. Those guys are always the ones to restrain that. So that would be kind of interesting. But at the same token, it would be really hard for Mitchell and Garland to get any space with Suggs out there being as pesky as he is. Of course, you can throw Isaac out there to guard the perimeter. It switches. You got Wendell, who's really good moving his feet. Franz, we didn't speak of his defense, but he's been phenomenal defensively over the last
really good.
So they have so many guys they can switch with to guard those more perimeter oriented players who have speed and quickness and can get to the basket at will. So I think that would be, it's interesting across the board. So I don't necessarily have like an opinion or a favorite, but I think styles would be very different depending on who they're playing.
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot of that. At one point I was hoping for the Knicks, and then after this weekend, I've kind of like changed my mind a little bit. I'm like, yeah, maybe it would be more fun to watch, you know, see the Pacers or, you know, Cleveland or hey, let's get an in-state rivalry going again with the Miami Heat. That would be a fun storyline to push for the playoffs. I think that would be a good time too. Josh, I just want to say thank you. It's going to be a really fun end of season with this Magic team, you know, continuing to ramp up, playing higher pressure games. This has been one of the most fun endings to a season because it's not even close to ending. We're going into the postseason, which is exciting. It's been a lot of fun. And you and Dan and the rest of the team over at Orlando that, you know, cover the Magic and provide content for us fans do a great job of that. We've really enjoyed it this season. Obviously, OrlandoMagic.com is where they can find your work, but please also feel free to plug anything you have upcoming and any other aspects you want to throw out there.
Yeah, again, I appreciate having me on and talking hoops. Always fun. Yeah, like you said, OrlandoMagic.com. My Twitter is Josh_Cohen_NBA. I have the YouTube channel, which is the same name, Josh_Cohen_NBA. So yeah, those are the main places where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, Magic fans, this is another episode of The Close Up. Josh, thanks again so much for joining the show. It's been a great time having this conversation with you. And we'll see you next week with another episode of The Close Up. Go Magic. Peace.